Parliament's back this week, with Labour expected to table legislation designed to avoid a no-deal Brexit. The Prime Minister is threatening to kick any Tory rebel who supports it out of the party, likely blowing up his slim majority in the Commons and setting the stage for a possible general election. Well, the Brexit Party fancy their chances in that contest, and joining me now is one of their London MEPs, Ben Habib. Mr. Habib, good to have you back on the programme. So, Two months ago, your party was complaining we weren't going to leave the EU. Now you are complaining that Boris Johnson is potentially setting the stage for a Brexit deal with the EU. It feels as though this isn't just about leaving the EU, but leaving it on your terms, perhaps where your party is still pulling the strings.
Well, 2 months ago, we had a different prime minister, of course, Nick. You know, we had Theresa May still in power, and everything seemed to be slip-sliding towards another referendum and a revocation of Article 50. And now it seems, from what we can assess, that Boris Johnson is setting the scene to get the backstop removed. And if he can get the backstop removed, he will bring that wretched withdrawal agreement back to Parliament. And that is not leaving. That is actually signing up to the EU in perpetuity without having any voice whatsoever in the organisation. So we see the direction of travel for this administration as being almost worse, than where we were before.
I mean, without that perpetuity that you describe, it is if the backstop is still in there and that border has to be protected with single markets and customs union rules, but also that long transition while businesses try to react to things. I mean, don't you feel that a trade deal with the EU and perhaps new changes in terms of how Ireland and Northern Ireland talk to each other are possible?
Well, I think a trade deal which came at the same time as a withdrawal agreement would be fine, but a trade deal that comes post a withdrawal agreement, particularly one which includes the ability for the European Union to force its regulations upon us without us being able to risk them, to resist them, is not a good position for the United Kingdom to be in, because we would get a really bad trade deal. So what we would advocate, given how short the time is now between, you know, where we are on 31st October, is some kind of standstill arrangement using WTO rules so that we can continue to trade on a zero tariff basis while they negotiate a genuine trade deal. But the European Union, as you know, Nick, has repeatedly said that it won't have a standstill agreement of that nature until we first agreed the amount of money that we're going to pay them and then agreed the divorce terms.
I mean, the fundamental element there is, of course, how the relationship between Northern Ireland and Ireland works in, if you have a standstill under WTO rules, you need to have the direction of travel already laid out. It's not an open check, as it were. But the alternative, if you can't get that, is a no-deal Brexit, your party is pushing for. We heard earlier on the programme this morning the British Retail Consortium talking about fresh food shortages when a no-deal happens in October. Why would a country do that to itself?
Well, just coming to the fresh food shortages thing, I mean, it's just classic Project Fear. The British Retail Consortium, I think, comprises about 200 retail members. There are 100,000 retailers in this country. The notion that there could be a food shortage in the UK is a great one for Project Fear, but you know, we've also heard that
cattle are businesses.
You know, cattle are going to have to be slaughtered because we're going to have a surfeit of.
So we're talking about food which is imported from the EU each October. Different parts of the world have different seasons. I just wonder if there are no business groups, no experts that you'll trust on a no deal Brexit. Which data point, which business group are you looking at that would potentially be able to change your mind on this?
Well, it just simply doesn't make any sense, Nick, that the United Kingdom, which is an agriculturally based economy, could run out of food.
Hang on. The UK is not an agriculturally based economy. I mean,
GDP 70% is services, sure. But if you look at 60% of the land use in this country, it's for agriculture. You know, we have some of the best and most efficient farms in the world. We've got agricultural products all the way through from beef, lamb, arable. You know, there's just no there's no possibility that the UK could run short of food.
But even on a good day, even during the season, those farms only supply, I think it's about half of the food that the UK eats. But we're talking about the winter, where food isn't actually grown across all of those farms. I'm just wondering which groups, which experts would you actually go along with if they said a no-deal Brexit is problematic? Because there are so many groups that have said this is going to be a difficulty.
Well, as we know, Nick, and has been evidenced through the last 3 years, a lot of these institutions are pro-Remain, and they colour their output with their pro-Remain credentials. Before 2016, I would have trusted most institutions and indeed mainstream media to tell us what's what. But actually, since Project Fear kicked off in 2016, these people have become shriller in their warnings in order to get what they see as the correct political path for the United Kingdom. And frankly, I trust very little that comes out of these people now.
If there was a general election and the Brexit Party won, is this something that your party would look to deal with? Because
I think so, absolutely. I think one of the issues that's got to be, we've got to get to grips with is, you know, bodies that should know better have got to come up with forecasts that are genuine forecasts and not tinged with their political biases.
But you realise this sounds as though you are saying that experts and the media themselves will be judged based on whether they support the government of the day.
Well, I didn't talk about media and what I just said, but...
But you mentioned mainstream media a moment ago.
Yeah, well, I don't trust mainstream media, but I didn't suggest that we should have any reforms of it. But I think things like the OBR and so on, you know, they need to be looked at because some of the Treasury, for example, Treasury forecasts, I think the Treasury needs to be very careful in the forecast it makes to ensure that it doesn't put out false information based on its political biases. You know, the nation trades off the back of these forecasts. Businesses make make decisions based on these forecasts. So these forecasts need to be accurate. And if you go back to 2016, just to remind you, you know, the forecast was that 1 million jobs would be lost if we voted to leave the European Union. Actually, we've added 1 million jobs to the economy. The forecast was that we'd have a deep, protracted recession. Actually, we exited 2016 as one of the fastest growing countries in G7. You know, these things have to be taken with a huge pinch of salt nowadays because these institutions are discredited.
Those forecasts, obviously, I mean, you're picking ones particularly made by George Osborne, the Chancellor at the time, based on immediately leaving the EU, not just
well,
on the
Well, I mean,
vote.
Mark Carney said he'd put aside £250 billion in order to rescue the banking system, given that there was a risk of a run on the banks. I mean, the notion that there could be a run on the banks because we vote to leave the European Union was just an absurd notion. It was definitely Project Fear, Nick, and we're getting Project Fear all over again. I've been glancing at the FT this morning.
We're going to have to leave it there. We're running a little late, but always a pleasure. Mr. Habib there, Mr. Ben Habib, MEP for the Brexit Party.